that we did not face when we were in school. And they need to be strong in the Lord. And we need to pray for them and hold them up. And so do remember these young people. All right. I desire an interest in your prayers this morning as I stand before you. I thought yesterday I knew what I was going to preach on today. And so last night I went into my study and to refresh my mind on some scriptures, and I felt like that the Lord had a different subject for me to use today. And it may be an unusual subject, but I really feel strongly about this subject this morning. And the title of my subject is The Pastoral Search. I will read my lesson and then I'll tell you more about it. I want to read from Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, and I'll read down through verse 9. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. They are directed to Titus, who was a young preacher that had been left in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking. And so he says to him, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angered, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now I'm going to stop there, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. There may be some present today that don't know that last Sunday I announced that I was going to offer my resignation to the church to become effective on August the 31st of this year. And there are several reasons why that I feel that it's time for me to do this. I have some health issues, and I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 86 years old, will be 87 in January, and I've been pastor here at Fairview Memorial collectively for 27 and a half years, and I would like to retire. Not from preaching, but from pastoring. I would like to have, I'd like to leave while I still have some credibility, while people still think of me in a good way. And I would like to have a little time, you know, to just retire gracefully, grow old gracefully. And there's not many of you that have worked for 64 years at your job, but I have. And I say that just by way of introduction. In our business meeting, I offered a written resignation, and it was read and accepted. And the church made a motion to select our deacons as a pulpit committee. Now, they weren't elected to hire a preacher, but they were elected to find someone who is qualified and available that would be suitable for pastor of this church. And I have full confidence in these brethren. And in the things that I'm going to say today, I want to emphasize that, if I may. But anyway, my subject is the pastoral search. Now, the Bible, you know, we know that this is a huge responsibility, you know, that rests upon these brethren. And they need your prayers. And I know they covet your prayers. And I know that they have the best interests of this church at heart. And they want to find someone who is qualified and who is able to move this church upward and onward. You know, we don't want to see our churches, go down. We want to see them go up. We want to see them be successful. We want to see people saved and born into the family of God. And we want to see, have a loving fellowship among the membership of the church. And we want to be the kind of a church where people will enjoy coming to church and enjoy the singing and enjoy the testimonies and enjoy the preaching. And so I know the Lord has that very person in mind for this church. And so I want you all to pray for these brethren as they try to search and find someone, the one that God would have, to come and be pastor and lead this congregation. And you might say, well, why the deacons? You know, why not somebody else? Well, someone else could have been chosen. But you know, deacons, they are servants of the church. They have been ordained to be servants of the church. They have been interrogated by brethren, by their peers, by other deacons and preachers, who themselves have been interrogated and have been ordained and found to be sound in the doctrines of our church. And so they have been examined and they've been found to be sound in the faith. And so they are people who love this church and who want it to prosper and to do well. Now, that's not saying that the rest of you don't, but that's saying that they do have the interests of the church at heart. And so there is a reason, you know, why God has left his church here in the world. There is a reason why God has blessed the church with the gift of pastors and evangelists, and so that the church will prosper, and that's what we're hoping for. Now, how do you know when you found the right person? Well, I think the God lets the person know, and I think he lets the church know, that this is the person that I would have to lead this particular flock at this particular time. Now, the Bible says this, let all things be done decently and in order. And there's a reason for that. That's in the 40th verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But also in the 33rd verse of that same chapter, it says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I really believe that love and peace and harmony should be the normal condition in every one of our churches. Peace and love should be, you know, the hallmark. And there's nothing like a church where brotherly love and Christian affection shared, and where we love each other. And I'm so glad and thankful. I believe that we are in harmony. I believe that we do have love for one another. I believe that every one of us wants the church to do well and to prosper. And so I felt like I needed to say these things this morning as this search begins. Deacons should have a strong sense of what the needs of the church are. They should have a strong sense of the needs of the church. And there's no point in asking, you know, preachers to come and try out for to be pastor if they're not qualified or if they're not available, you know, to come to the church. And there are qualifications. The Lord gave the qualifications. I want to emphasize one that Jesus himself emphasized. He had risen from the dead. Now, you know, all of you know Jesus. You know who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this earth and he lived among men and he established his church. And the Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the church. Now, we're referred to as sheep. He's the shepherd and we're the sheep of his pasture. And the shepherd loves his sheep. And he lays down his life for the sheep even, you know. He loves them enough that he will sacrifice himself for the good of his sheep. Remember, David was a shepherd boy. And he was keeping his father's sheep. And there was a bear, you know, that took one of the lambs or out of the flock. And David, he went and rescued that lamb. He faced danger, personal danger, even to rescue that lamb. And so, as the pastor is the under-shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus is still the shepherd. And he'll always be the shepherd. But he's in heaven now. After he was crucified and buried, he rose from the dead. And he showed himself alive. We're not serving a dead Savior. We're serving a risen and living Savior. And he is still the head over all things to the church. But because of his care for the church and his love for the church, He gave under-shepherds. He gave pastors that would love the church and that would care for the church and would supply the needs of the church, that would feed the church so that they would grow and prosper and so that they would be spiritual. You know, one of the things that I find today, we're not nearly as spiritual as we used to be. And I'm talking about generally speaking. We just don't have the power that we once had, it seems. And we know that God hasn't changed. We know that His Word hasn't changed. We know that the plan of salvation is still the same today that it's always been. And we know that it takes the same thing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that means the gospel furnishes the information that sinners must hear in order to be saved. Nothing has changed, from God's side of the story. And so that's one thing that we need to strive for, is to be more spiritual, to be more dedicated and more submissive to the will of God. I believe that many times God moves on the hearts of His people, and we quench the Spirit. We set on it, you know. We don't speak for the Lord like we should. And so we suppress, we hold back. And that, you know, that don't give the Spirit liberty as He would have if we did not suppress His will and His desire and His power. Get back to where I was. Jesus, the great shepherd, and He gave pastors for the edification, the building up of the church. That's in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to let you read it. But it says He gave pastors, and He gave evangelists, He gave prophets, and it says He gave pastors and teachers, which mean pastors should be good teachers. They should be good teachers of the Word of God. Now, I don't mean to be critical, but I have heard brethren who, they made a lot of noise, but what they said was not very meaningful. But pastors should be teaching pastors. Pastors that have something to say and have the ability to say it. Now, if we don't understand the Word of God, it's not going to benefit us, you know. Just hearing it doesn't benefit. It's when we understand it and then we put it into practice that we benefit from the preaching of the Word of God. But anyway, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, and I may have to turn over there just for a moment and look at this for our benefit. Chapter 5 says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." Here's one preacher giving advice to other preachers. And he said, "I'm a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And he says to all of us, especially those of us who are under shepherds, who are pastors, he said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." He said, "Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And he said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, then shall ye receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So the Lord Jesus, I want you to know he loves you. He loves this church. This church will soon be 100 years old. There have been hundreds of people that have been saved through the influence of this church. There have been perhaps thousands that have been affected by this church in some way. This church has been a landmark in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it would please the Lord that on the day that He descends from heaven, He would find us watching and waiting. That He would find us busy. That He would find us about our Father's business. That He would find us loving each other. That He would find us serving each other. That He would find us reaching out to other people. With a heart of love. Let us help you. And I think that needs to be the desire of the church. We're not just looking to be served. We need to be servants. And we need to serve one another. Well, let me get back over here just for a minute. And I'll try not to keep you long, but I'm going to say a few things more that I want to say. There's a reading from the book of Titus over here. Now, he said, if any be blameless. Now, blameless don't mean without fault. It doesn't mean that a pastor has to be perfect. You'll never find one that is. We are human beings. We're sinful. In the flesh, pastors have thoughts they ought not to have. They sometimes do things they ought not to do. So we're not looking for somebody that's perfect, but we are looking for someone who is blameless. And that means this: there must not be anything in the background of a man that, if brought to light, would bring shame and reproach upon the church. There are many men who can fill that description. But he said blameless, must be blameless. And he says, let me find where I'm at. The husband of one wife, your marital status must be in order. And Paul said, must be. He didn't say, ought to be, should be. Be nice if it was. He said, it must be. Why? Because you're being examples to the flock. When I was a young preacher, I went to Thorntown, Indiana, and started doing some mission work up there. I was out visiting one Sunday afternoon, and I stopped by this house, and this fella was out there on his tractor working. And he came over to the edge of the field, and he told me that he was a pastor of a church up there. And he said, I know this don't look good for me to be out here working on the Lord's day. But he said, my philosophy is, don't do like I do, but do like I say. Now, that's not suitable, folks. We need to practice what we preach. We need to do what the Lord has instructed us to do. And the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I told you all not too long ago, that a lot of people think Sunday is their day. But Sunday is not our day. Sunday is the Lord's day. And we should spend our time in resting our bodies and worshiping the Lord. God knows what our physical needs are. He knows if you work 6 days a week, you need rest for your body. And, you know, you not only need rest for your body, you need fellowship with God. And you need to be in the house of the Lord where you can receive the engrafted Word of God. You know, it will save sinners and it will strengthen Christians, you know. And so anyway, I just thought of that, so I just shared it with you. And he said, having faithful children, not accused or right or unruly. Now, Paul said in his instructions, which are very much the same concerning a pastor, he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And there's nothing wrong with desiring to be a pastor. But there are qualifications for being a pastor. And he went on to say that if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he care for the church of God? You know. And so these are just some of the qualifications. I'm trying to help these brethren as they search for a qualified pastor. And I hope that what I'm saying, I don't mean to be offensive, and I hope that I'm not. And I told you, I trust them. They've been examined. They know. They know what the Bible says about what a pastor should be. And I think we all... you know, we should be behind them, and we should be, anxious for their recommendation, you know. Now, they're not going to elect a pastor. You're going to elect a pastor. But I tell you, the Bible, and when they ordained the deacons, they said, look for men who are of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You see, those who hold the office of a deacon, you know, they have been installed to that office, and they should be listened to. And their advice and recommendation should be welcomed, you know. And so anyway, I'll move along. It said that he... must not be, well, he emphasizes that being blameless again. He said, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed. I'm sorry to say, but I have known men that were willing to sacrifice the church for their own benefit. And that's shameful. That is shameful. He said they should be not self-willed, not soon angered. You know, we're cautioned in the Word of God about our anger. And he said, now be ye angry and sin not. Sometimes there are things that will anger you, but you have to control it. You know, a man it's in the book of Proverbs, and I can't get it together. But it said a man that can't control his anger is like a city that has broken walls, broken down walls. You know, we're serving God, and we've got His cause at heart. And he said, not given to wine, no striker. No, that means not always striking back. If something that you don't like, you strike back, you know. But and not given to filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is money or its equivalent. Listen, ninth verse, holding fast the faithful word as it had been taught. Holding fast to the word of God. No compromise with the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we must always uphold the truth and hold it forth, to everyone. Now Jesus said, I started to say this a while ago. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Now I've heard people boast about their love for Jesus. And they had no love for the church, evidently, because they didn't support the church, go to church like they should. But Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Well, he said, feed my sheep. And then he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And it kind of angered Peter a little. Lord, you know I love you. And he said, well, you feed my lambs. And then he asked him the third time, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, feed my sheep. The biggest and the most important qualification, in my opinion, is for a pastor to love the people he's serving. God help us if we don't love our people. God help us. And so, I want to say this. Pulpit deportment is important. I'm not setting myself up as being an example. God knows I'm telling you the truth. But pulpit deportment is really important. How we look and how we act, is very important. I'll tell you this. I was a pastor of a church in another state. And there was a brother in the church. He had a nephew who was a preacher. And he said, I wish you all would call my nephew to help in the revival sometime. And so the church called him to help us in the revival. He came, and he was from a different state, third state. And so he came, and he had on a nice suit, a white shirt, had a necktie, nice shoes, And he preached really a good sermon that first night. The second night, he was late getting there. And when he got there, he had on an old dirty white shirt, no tie, no coat, and dirty, wrinkled slacks. And so when he got up to preach, he said, I guess you all think I don't look much like a preacher. He said, what is a preacher supposed to look like anyway? And so he went on raving about that. And he said, Jesus said, when you went out to see John the Baptist, he said, what did you go to see, a reed shaken by the wind? But anyway, he carried on a lot about that. And during the things that he had to say, he went over to the piano, and he got up on the piano and stood on the piano stool while he was preaching. Then he got down from there, and he got on the altar, and he walked back and forth on the mourner's bench. Now, the pulpit's for a purpose. In the Bible, we read in the book of Nehemiah about the pulpit of wood that was made for the reading of God's word. And he was elevated so the people in the crowd could see him. and so they could hear what he had to say. Now, I'm just telling you now. You know, I'm a pulpit preacher. Not everybody is, and that's all right. You know, for everybody to be what they are, you know. But I have at times left the pulpit, especially in making an appeal to sinners in the altar, to come to the altar. I've went back and down the aisle, and I've pleaded with people to come to the Lord. And I know preachers that do walk and a lot and talk. But, you know, it has to be done decently and in order, you know. And so pulpit deportment is important. And these qualifications are listed in the Bible for a purpose. For a purpose. And we should follow them in everything that we do. I guess I'll close. I could say a lot more. But I want you all to know I love this church. I want this church to prosper. I want it to prosper. I want these lost people to be saved. I want people to have confidence in this church. I mean, they do now, but I mean, I want them to continue to have confidence in this church. And I want, you know, the Lord to be pleased with us. So, now this may not help you all at all. It may not help you at all. But I believe, I truly believe, the Lord laid this on my heart. And I want us to love one another. Times like this, it's very easy for there to be great division, you know. One want one person and one want another person, you know. And sometimes people just get divided. Probably didn't intend to do that, but somehow they did. But I want you to stay close together. And I want you to seek out the will of God. And I want the Lord to be pleased with whatever we do. So I felt like that I owed this to you all as an under-shepherd. And I hope that God will use it and that it will be beneficial to the church in some way. Anyone have anything you want to say before we close today? Well, I didn't expect any shout, I tell you. You know, after a sermon like this. But Dr. Collins?